What is going on, God?
I feel like everything is falling apart. You know, it wasn't the first time I'd had this conversation with God, but it certainly was about to become the loudest. It was the summer between my first 2 years of college, and I was working at a church camp, place I loved, and I'd made my way up a secret trail that only a few of us knew about to the top of a mountain that overlooked miles around. It was a place I would often go to reflect and pray and just get away. But this day, the hike there had not been one of content freedom and a chance to get away from it all. This day, the hike was one of angry steps. Do you know that walk where every single footstep is just pounding the ground with some sort of frustration or anger, each one harder than the last? It didn't seem to help me vent. It actually seemed to be accumulating. Every time I got angry, I was even angrier that I was angry, and I just continued this long, hard walk. In recent weeks, it had felt like the world was conspiring against me. I had reached an emotional and spiritual breaking point. Never had I felt like this before. Maybe, I mean, the same words might describe the feelings, but never this intensity. I was ticked. I felt like God had abandoned me. No, that's too passive. I felt like God was coming after me with some kind of vengeance, like I'd done something wrong. And so when I arrived on that mountaintop, I could no longer hold it in. And instead of my usual silent prayer, I started speaking out loud to God. What is going on? I feel like everything's falling apart. And it seemed the more I said it out loud, the more it began to sink in how angry I really was. And the volume and the intensity began to rise. I swear within minutes, there were birds two mountains away that started flying out of their trees. Somewhere, someone in the valley on a hike was like, I don't know what's going on in that guy's life, but I'm turning around. I had had it. I was done. I presented my case to God like it was closing arguments in a life or death trial. And then, God bless the hubris, I found myself demanding that God respond right then and right there. I was screaming at the top of my lungs to the point of losing my voice, and I delivered God an ultimatum. You show up and you give me a sign and you fix this or we are done. And my words echoed across the valley. And as the echo faded, I waited amidst the silence, fully expecting something. And silence is all that I got. Today, we visit a tougher place on our journey through the Psalms. I mean, the Psalms are often viewed as these sing-songy, happy praise scriptures, right? Lord, how majestic is your name. Your steadfast love endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Lots of praise. Lots of historically based trust, right? Look at the ways God has shown up for us. Isn't this great? But the Psalms are also a vehicle of lament. Heavy word, lament. It describes a passionate expression of grief and sorrow. And the Psalms contain many laments. The Psalms visit these places of pain, these places of difficulty, these feelings of insecurity and uncertainty. Now, in general, though, all these psalms come around by the end. By the final verses, they return to a place of praise. It's a healthy way, right, to acknowledge the dealing with negative emotions. You express them, you acknowledge them, and you do so as a means of moving through them. It's great social emotional learning, right? Talk about your feelings and you'll be able to move past them. Psalm 22 is a great example of this, right? It opens, my God, why have you left me alone? Why are you so far away from saving me? Why do you not hear my anguished groans? Okay, there's some lament here. My God, I cry out during the day, but you don't answer. At night, I don't even stop. And the psalm gets even more intense from there. Psalm 22 hits it hard. But then in the middle of the psalm, the author is ready for death to take him or her away. And then the psalm makes a turn. But you, Lord, don't be far away, for you are my strength. Come quick and help me. Indeed, all the earth's powerful will worship the Lord. All who are descending to the dust will still kneel before the Lord, for my being lives for you, O God. Future descendants will serve the Lord. Generations will become to be told of you. They will proclaim God's righteousness to those yet not born, telling all what the Lord has done. Well, that's a pretty big turn. I cry day and night, but here you are, I praise your righteousness. The psalmist visits this deep human suffering and pain and then bounces back to praise over and over again. All the psalms of lament make this turn. Well, all of them except one. There are 150 psalms. 67 of them are laments. And of those 67 laments, 66 of them turn to praise by the end. But not Psalm 88. And I believe this is a very important thing to know. Because there are moments in life when we are not ready, or we cannot just feel, we can't make that turn in our lives. There are days we're not ready to just bounce back to the happy stuff. I've sat in that hospital room. The hospital room where people are not yet ready to turn to words of praise. I have visited that home. I have taken that phone call and I have spoken at that graveside. I've been there in some of those places with you, our community. And yes, personally, I have stood on that mountaintop. I have been left with questions that have no answers, and I have cried myself to sleep. In all of our lives, there have been, there are, or there will be moments when we are crying out from desperation and we cannot even envision that there will ever be a day that we will ever praise again. And I know so many people who have walked away from their faith, not just in those moments, but because of those moments. People who have felt those things, feeling angry or abandoned or just feeling, the hardest one for me, feeling nothing. See, those feelings are not wrong. Those feelings are not unfaithful. Those feelings are human and those feelings are biblical. I want you to hear the anguish of the psalmist in Psalm 88. Wendy, would you be willing to share as Jack reads this powerful psalm for us?
Lord God of my salvation, by day I cry out, even at night before you. Let my prayer reach you. Turn your ear to my outcry, because my whole being is filled with distress. My life is at the very brink of hell. I'm considered as one of those plummeting into the pit. I am like those who are beyond help, drifting among the dead, lying in a grave like dead bodies. Those who don't remember anymore, those who are cut off from your power, you place me down in the deepest pit. In places dark and deep, your anger smothers me. You subdue me with it, wave after wave. You've made my friends distant. You've made me disgusting to them. I can't escape. I'm trapped. My eyes are tired of looking at my suffering. I've been calling out to you every day, Lord. I've had my hands outstretched to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do ghosts rise up and give you thanks? Is your faithful love proclaimed in the grave? Your faithfulness in the underworld? Are your wonders known in the land of darkness, your righteousness in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you, Lord. My prayer meets you first thing in the morning. Why do you reject my very being, Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? Since I was young, I've been afflicted. I've been dying. Your fiery anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me all day long like water. They engulf me completely. You've made my loved ones and companions distant. My only friend is darkness.
I cry out. My being is filled with distress. The deepest of pits, anger smothering me. My friends are distant. My eyes are tired of looking at suffering. Could your wonders even be known in this land of darkness? Why do I feel rejected? Why is your face hidden from me? I have endured terrors. I am lifeless. You've made my loved ones and companions distant. My only friend is darkness. Period. End of chapter. The psalm doesn't get anywhere near resolution, let alone praise. We're just left hanging. I wish I had known about this psalm when I was standing on that mountaintop yelling at God. Because as I stood there, as I was dealing with this moment of just despair, the only Bible stories that came to my mind were the ones where God shows up. You know, all these stories I remember from Sunday school where God answers the prayers, the ones where the beam of light shows up and the voice of God offers comfort, the dove descends and everything's great. You know, the little happy ones we would color on the coloring sheets. Something, anything that brought resolution to the story, right? The happy ending scriptures. I knew those stories, but that wasn't my experience, and I felt like there was nothing that could speak to me. Where was my peace in the storm? Where was my guidance in the wilderness? Where was the light in the dark? My experiences and what I thought the scriptures promised were completely at odds, and I was out of words. And I wish I had known that was okay. In fact, I wish I had known that was more than okay. This isn't just a single psalm. This is the story of God's people generation after generation. The story of God's people crying out, bearing their souls, lamenting the injustice and the oppression and the persecution and the illness. It amazes me. This psalm, this phrasing of suffering could be talking about the book of Exodus. It could be talking about the lives of the Hebrew people during the time of Jeremiah. It could be talking about those who were suffering as Jesus walked about in the Gospel of Mark. It could describe the 1700s, the 1950s, the late 60s. It could describe the last few years. These are timeless words because they are so raw and so honest. To be God's people does not mean we will live lives free from difficulty. It does not mean we will live lives free from the harsh reality or the misuse and abuse of power and free will. God has heard humanity cry out. And God has cried along with us. And God has been with us. But sometimes the hurt is so strong, sometimes the sadness is so deep, and sometimes our anger is so potent that we cannot see God's light. We cannot hear God's loving reassurance in our ears. We cannot feel God's presence, even though we long for it. And this is not to say God's grace is not strong enough. God's grace is strong enough. But grace must be received. We must open ourselves to it, and sometimes we're just not there. So God does what we do. God waits. God waits for us. Whatever we're in, whatever we're working through, whatever we haven't handled, God waits for us, and God doesn't give up. At the same time, I want to acknowledge this is really easy to talk about when we're not in that moment. And it's sometimes impossible to remember when we're there. So what are we to do? What are we to do when we find ourselves in the midst of despair, being tossed about by the cruel waves of life's ocean, surrounded and overwhelmed by the depths, or screaming at the top of our lungs as we stand upon a mountain? What are we to do? We give ourselves permission. It's okay. It's human. We experience the fullness of our feelings and our emotions. I tell you, if we do not take time to experience the fullness of our feelings and emotions, they will only get heavier. They will only get more opaque, and they will only close us off further. We seek companionship. Because whether an angry psalmist or a friend, it's good to have someone to cry with us. We need to be validated. And then we do the hardest part. Then we have to do the hardest part. We do the same thing that God will never cease to do for us. Then we wait. We wait. Amen.